shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place. By the cross you lead us to that home above. There we'll see Him face to face. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss. May we be alive and teach them how to live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross you lead us to that home above. There we'll see Him face to face. Boy, that's truly a spiritual song, because by the help of the Holy Spirit, it has truly ministered to me for 3 weeks now without fail. I mean, there's been times that at work everything don't always go perfect, but that song has been my cushion. That song has undergirded me and carried me through some of the struggles at work. People ain't always easy to work with. We got a new lady at work this week. She's only worked 2 days. One of those 2 days I got to talk to her about her soul, and I seen her tear up a little bit. I believe there's something there to work with. And y'all remember her, I should have mentioned, I'm sorry, her name's Kimberly. But remember Kimberly, I can tell she's got heart, because I talked to her about the Lord loved her and He wanted to save her, wanted to give her a home in heaven. I saw her tear up, and I look for those signs. I always try to proceed with caution when I talk to someone about getting saved. But I like to see those process indicators, they call them, out there at work. Let you know there's something there to work with, amen. And again, let me say thank you to everybody that, y'all bestowed a blessing upon me yesterday, and I could not put in words how thankful I am. And let me say, even today, we've got food back there in the back, and I sure would like to impose upon you to stay, please, and spend a little time back there. And we've got plenty of food. I hope you've got time to stay after the service. We're intending to try to finish that meal off. But it's fried chicken, fried fish, and I don't know what all. I ate some of Gayla's Mexican cornbread. And I have to admit, I didn't know if I liked it or not, but I've got where I like that pretty good. That's really good. And there was other cornbread and all kind of stuff there. And I do want to thank the church for putting that meal together. I wished I could say I deserved any attention at all, and I certainly don't, but I want to thank you for putting forth an effort there. I certainly appreciated my wife and I. We were up here yesterday, and that littlest granddaughter, and she asked what time the evening service start, and I told her, and I thought, I've got something to work with here. And I said, you say something to Nanny, and I'll come and get you, honey. She said, Nanny, I want to go to church with Pop. And my wife, she threw a little curveball in there. She said, now you know that if you do that, then Maui and Debbie ain't going to get to come home from church with him, play with him. That she's little. And she said, well, I've changed my mind, Pop. So I had to pray against that. I kind of prayed that something would happen. They wouldn't get to come home with him today, so they'd call me and have me come and get him. But either way, it'll be all right. I wish they could come. But I do want to thank you for all of the love y'all show me. I wish I could put it into words. I can't. But I want to thank the Lord for all that y'all do for me. Y'all deserve better. I do the best I can. That's all I can do. We'll finish our message. We started last Sunday. If you want to open up your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 6. We started last Sunday, and I knew it would be a rather lengthy message. But we started last Sunday preaching about Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, reading down through verse 19. And the Bible said, these six things doeth the Lord hate. Now, I want you to notice that I didn't notice this till this morning. I'm about as smart as a box of rocks.
It says, these six things doeth the Lord hate, and you'll notice there's seven of them. So, I wasn't even aware of that till this morning as I finished studying for this message. Well, actually, I came to that conclusion last night, but I did finish up what I had done last night this morning. But it mentioned, these six things doeth the Lord hate, and there's actually seven mentioned, and it says, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. So I guess you could pick out any six of these seven, and any of them would be in the category of things the Lord hates. But it says the Lord hates a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That's what I preached on last Sunday, them three. And here's four more. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And, this is the seventh one, he that soweth discord among brethren. We'll stop our reading right there. And I would ask that you please pray with me. I do need your prayers this morning. Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God. And Father, it's not expired, it's inspired. Men do well to take heed to the Word of God. And the man that thinks this Bible's outdated needs to think again. I thank you for the inspired Word of God. I thank you for the infallible truths and the treasures that it reveals. And Lord, we pray, dear Father, today, and Lord, I mean this, that you'd give us a ladle to be able to draw from the precious Word of God. Lord, to be able to draw from it, that we might all be able to sup with you this morning. Lord, I do pray, Father, this morning, that you would preach to me and through me. May we all, Lord, I pray, have a heart for the Word of God. Have ears for eternal things. And Lord, I confess, Lord, my inability and how unworthy I am. Oh, Lord. How unworthy I am to preach your word. My granddaughter asked me to tell her on the way home last night how God called me to preach, and I forgot to tell her. Lord, even look back on it, Lord, I wonder even myself, Lord, how could you do such a thing to one so unworthy as me? But I did want to share that with her. I'm her grandfather. I did want to share with her how you had called me to preach. And I certainly forgot it. I'll try to do it today if you'll allow me to, Lord. But bless this message, dear Father, today. How true it is. I'm only a messenger boy. The message is yours. And Lord, what I'll say today applies to me as much as anybody in here. In Jesus' blessed name, we'll ask it. Amen. All right. We got here things that the Lord hates. And like I said, I didn't realize this till last night. There's actually seven things mentioned here. And we couldn't. There's no way I could cover this territory. I'll do my best. But the first one, we've done preached on the proud look, and we've got them. We've done preached on the lying tongue, and we've got them. We've done preached on the hands that shed the innocent blood, and though you say you're not guilty, let me say America has endorsed abortion. And that happened in 1970 in the case of Roe versus Wade. And since that date, 53 million babies have been slaughtered. Now that's innocent blood, and God hates that. And I'm glad that He don't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. But I am glad that the Lord has got mercy. He's got grace. Amen. Pertaining to you and me. But that's a terrible sin that we shed innocent blood. I thought I still had the notes from last week, but I must not have them. But 53 million babies have been slaughtered under the pretense of it's a woman's right. Well, let me just tell you this. I'm not no doctor. I did say last Sunday I probably mentioned a little bit more about this. When a woman does come with child, there are two souls. It's a separate human being. It's actually not part of her body. And those of you who probably know more about this even than I do. But for us to say that it's a woman's right, we need to think again. Here's why I say that. The Bible says the fruit of the womb is His reward. It says children are an inheritance from the Lord. It says, blessed is that man has his quiver full of them. But Israel, the Bible said, they sacrificed their children to devils. And I wonder if we're not in the same category. Just because somebody says that they overthrew and legalized abortion, that don't make it right. So I want to get off of that. But I do want to say that God hates that. I do want to say that America will answer to God for that sin. Now I want to get on to other things here today. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked, and it says, who can know it? Now, we're all in that category. I'll try to be quick, yet I want to take a little time here. There have been people that have been put into situations that they wouldn't have done what they've done had they not been put into that temptation. If that predicament hadn't have manifested, they'd probably been all right. And we all say, I'll never do that. You remember Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. Though all men forsake you, I'll never. And what happened to Peter? Three times, didn't he? Last time cursed. I mean, boy, he wanted to make sure they understood that he meant it. But, you know, we got a little bit of Peter in us. We think, you know, that I'm not going to do that. And these young people here, I appreciate having these young people here. They need to realize, boy, that life, it's full of temptations, Monica. I don't even know your boyfriend's name there, but life's full of temptations. There are many snares. What the devil wants to do, Jessica, is he wants to mar you. See, the devil's been perverted. So he wants to pervert our young people. I pray for my granddaughters, and here's the prayer I pray. I say, Lord, would you please put a hedge about my two young granddaughters? Don't let the poisons of this world come into their mind. Don't let the pollutions of this world come into them. Don't let the perversions of this world come into them. I meet young people sometime. And I have to admit, I look at them and I try to figure, what was they thinking? Charles Manson took a knife and carved a swastika in his forehead. Go figure. But he marred himself. It's permanent, still there. You know, just take for instance Charles Manson got to Jesus, got saved. You know what? That'd still be there. I used to know a man, Carl Nelson. Great preacher, Gail. When Carl was young, he was a druggie, drunk. He was alcoholic too. They called him something about Switchblade Carl or something like that. I mean, he'd slit your throat. Carl got saved, Carolyn. Got called to preach. You never saw Carl with that long sleeve shirt on. He's so ashamed of having all them tattoos on him. You'd never seen but a man with that long sleeve shirt on. You know, those things, it was fun at the time. He's now ashamed of them. Yeah. It wasn't so funny. Now, here he is. Man, he's mired himself. God saved him. Put a high call on him, Brother Melvin.
Yeah.
You never saw Carl. Never saw him that long sleeve shirt. Tried to hide it. See, those things are permanent. You just think about it like this. You know, you're young and, you know, you put your tattoo on. Everybody thinks, hey, look, it's cool. I got me a tattoo. Listen, when you're in a nursing home, you'll find out you'll try to cover that up. It won't be so funny, so glorious then. So I say about our young people, just be careful what you allow. Everything's not what it seems to be. Sometimes, boy, if the devil has his way, he'll make a fool out of you. Buddy, when he makes a fool out of you, you do like some people do. They go put a rope around their neck and they don't want to live no more because they become one of the devil's fools. And I'll tell you what, buddy, the world is trying its best to come up with some kind of new thing. When they do, it's amazing. I saw a girl this week, Gail. She's driving down the road. She had both hands on the wheel. Right up there at the top, she had that phone of her. I don't know what she was doing, but I'm just going to guess she's probably texting. I don't know. But ain't it amazing how many temptations, how many things that come against our young people. Little Peyton here, she's just young. Little Chelsea. And we've just got to bathe them in prayer. We've got to try our best to protect them and try to get them to Calvary before that wolf, that raven wolf, Satan, devours these little lambs. Like I said, I'm in a hurry, but I do need to take a little bit of time here. These young people, I'm envious of them. I wish I'd make better decisions when I was a young person. You know, I may not have no outward evidences, but I've got some inward evidences. I've got some inward scars and wounds that can't heal. Things I shouldn't have never done. The Bible said, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Let me tell you something about sin. The Bible does say there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. Yeah, and when the fun's done, then you're stuck like David that said, my sin's ever before me. It ain't no fun. Cain said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Sin has consequences. It does cost. I heard somebody wrote a song one time. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Ain't nothing funny about sin. The Bible said fools make a mock at sin. Good Lord, I've got more liberty up here than I know what to do with. God's buttering my bread right now. But our heart, we think, you know, hey, I got it in check. The Bible said keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Don't let your heart wander off. Amen. Best thing you can do to your heart, God said, give me thine heart. Amen. The book of Proverbs, God bless you, Molly. She's sick of me just like a dog. Hallelujah. He said, give me thine heart. You want to give your heart to someone that won't break it? If you want to give your heart to someone that won't hurt it, give your heart to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a safe place to keep your heart. Amen. Glory to God, you can trust Him with your heart. Amen. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17:9 that heart's deceitful. Above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The next verse answers the question. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. If you got your Bible there in Jeremiah 16:7. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 16:17. Let me say it right for people that's listening by way of the internet. The Lord says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. There's nothing that you do that's hid from God. Amen. He knowed everything about Eddie Wade, Molly. And He still loved me enough to give me space to repent. Amen. That's the kind of love I needed, everybody. Because I was on hell. I was on a highway going to hell, and it was a dead-end street, and I was certainly going to make it. But the Lord gave me a little bit of a leash there. And He stood between me and that place of the damned. And He kept me from making it because I was going to make it. But the Lord said, mine eyes are upon all their ways. They're not hid from my face. Neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. The Bible said in Romans 8:7 that the carnal man, I'm sorry, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It says in Psalm 2:1, why do the heathen rage and the people, notice this, imagine. See that thing God hates, says the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. In Psalm 2:1 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What's a vain thing, Brother Eddie? Oh, you know, the theory of evolution, global warming. I believe they need to give. Yeah, bless you, Brother Melvin. I believe they need to realize who's got the thermostat. There's a whole lot in that Bible they need to come in contact with, not jump to some conclusion, spend a bunch of money and find out later on they didn't know but buy a lie, swallowed a lie. And some of those things, you know, they're not true. So-called separation of church and state, if they'll check that out, they'll find out it's not what they think it is. They'll find out that the man that made that statement said he wanted the government keep his hands off the church, and the church have preeminence over the government and the state. Amen. That's what that means. But it's so-called separation of church and state. All for what it's worth while I'm here. I really hate to share this with you. But you know, I'm not a dumb dog. It won't bark. And the Bible does say that if I don't cry aloud and spare not, that God will hold it against me. If I don't warn you, He said, require your blood in my hand. But for what it's worth, and I don't really want to be political here, but for what it's worth, we've had a lot of visitors in the White House. And you've got to sign in to go in. And you got to sign out when you leave. And for what it's worth, and you can go like I did, go on the internet, it's that long on there. The Muslim Brotherhood's been going into your White House, it is yours. Mm-hmm. They've been eating your steaks, drinking your beer, although they can have my beer. They've been partying up in your White House, spending your money, taking your precious things. And Gayla, somebody know they don't have to sign in. They don't have to sign out. Matter of fact, it's supposed to be kind of hush-hush secret. Unfortunately, somebody went and blabbed it out. But when they did, I went and checked it out. Sure enough, just do your Google search. That's what I did. It's right there. I mean, it's loaded too. They come in there a lot. Them's our enemies. I know you're supposed to come overcome evil with good. But I'll tell you right now, we might as well go ahead and put our head in the guillotine. These people here are going to cut your head off. Now, I just heard this week about a man that befriended a bear, and that bear and him, they've been friends for many years. One day he went in a cage, Keith, and the bear changed his mind and ate him. Some things you got to be careful with. I ain't going to get no cage and no big grizzly bear. And this man thought, oh, hey, I'm just my friend. He went in and said, how you doing, big bear? And the bear said, wow. And he was no more. He was breakfast, dinner, and supper. So, you don't want to just let anything. Yeah, you can't give no place to the devil, because I'll tell you what he'll do, buddy. He'll make a fool out of you. But the Muslim Brotherhood have been visiting your White House. They've been spending your money, eating your food. Yeah, boy. Y'all wait till y'all see the new Pope. Me and my pastor was talking about last night. We're 99.9% sure what color his skin is going to be, and that's just per se. It's not etched in stone, but I've got a good idea. Oh, we're getting right for that Antichrist, Brother Melvin.
That's right, yes.
He's absolutely right. We're changing guards here. So I just want you to know, you ought to kind of wake up a little bit. You ought to redeem the time. The days are evil. You ought to at least clean off the glass just a little bit and look around. Amen. I guarantee you wait and see. Now, I could be wrong, so don't hold it against me. I got a feeling something's going to be representing this new Pope. I done seen him pawing at the gate. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm certainly not no prophet or nothing. I certainly don't have anything to boast in that category. I'm dumb. But I want you to know, buddy, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, God hates that. He said also, the feet that be swift in running into mischief, or running to mischief. That's kind of unusual, because the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, we don't have no discipline today. So, but my mom, my dad, I had to walk the line. I have to admit, I marched to the beat. And it was a good thing. I didn't like it at the time, but I love them more for beating my behind than anything they've done for me. I love my mom, my dad for getting me by the nape of the neck, by the seat of my pants, getting through my thick head, my rebellious, mischief, foolish heart, and getting through to me, because in love they done it. But for what it's worth, the Bible said, whom the Lord loved, He chastens. So it must be something to do with the love. The Bible said a child left its own to bring its mother shame. And I'll just tell you, there's a whole lot more about getting a whooping than what it seems to be. But I'll tell you right now, my dad loved me enough to beat my behind when I needed. I didn't get all I needed, but I got everyone I got I needed, amen. But the Bible says, make straight paths for your feet, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Now most people I know, and I don't know whether you'll allow for this or not, most people I know, they kind of jaywalk a little bit. They don't necessarily walk as straight. I remember back when I was drinking, Molly, and the policeman pulled me over, and he said, walk a straight line. And I went in one of them kung fu modes. I mean, I'm telling you, buddy. I mean, I blotted everything out. Wasn't nothing else going on in my head except make a straight pass for them feet. And I was surprised, as drunk as I was, to be able to do it. But when we walk before God, the Bible does say steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but it says make straight paths for your feet. That don't mean on Monday to go over here at the bar or the bingo parlor or the adult movie place or the adult bookstore or anything like that. It says make straight paths for your feet. And that's what we ought to do. Now, we may not necessarily do what we ought to do, but I will tell you this. God's aware of it. He said He's greater than our heart and knows all things. And if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. What shall we ask? We receive of Him. Because we do those things that's pleasing in His sight. You can get on blessing ground if you walk the straight path. I'll tell you that right now. Sure enough. It says, if we walk in the light, He's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. God ain't going to jaywalk with you.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, if you want to walk with God, the Bible does say that after Methuselah was born, that Enoch walked with God. Amen. I promise you, it was a straight path. Amen. You can do that. You don't have to wait for your Methuselah to be born. You can just say, I'm getting tired of walking according to the course of this world, and I'm going to start walking with God.
Amen.
And we can just walk with the Lord and say, Lord, that sure is a beautiful day You've made. Lord, that sure was a beautiful song, the melody You put in my heart. Bless me, amen. You can have a blessing, amen. And I tell you what, all you got to do is walk with Him. That's the blesser of all, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Anthony. There's blessings. Bountiful blessings. The Bible said He daily loads us down with benefits. We may not daily thank Him for them, but He daily loads us down with benefits. But oh me, feet that are swift for running to mischief. You know, one of the things it says about a young lady there in the book of Proverbs, said her feet don't abide at home. I've heard tales, Carolyn, about young ladies that snuck out of the window at nighttime and just going to have a little fun, didn't make it back home. Matter of fact, there's the one got killed in a car wreck.
Yeah.
But her feet should have stayed at home. And, you know, God, He's right in everything He does. I know we charge God foolishly. We say, Lord, why'd You allow this? We'll never blame the devil for nothing. But I'll tell you one thing. The devil did come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And you give place to the devil, and he'll have an opportunity to kill you. I want my feet to be in the house of God, Anthony. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see that day approaching. Amen. Stay in church. Glory to God. I left that part of that verse. He says, not forsaking some of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. I left that exhorting out. See, you encourage me when you're here. I hope I encourage you when I'm here. Can you imagine having service and the pastor not show up? I know I was a little late this morning, but can you imagine you show up and he don't show up and somebody says, where's he at? He's supposed to be here. Well, I am supposed to be here. Oh, me. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You're to give a check on where you're going, what you're doing. God hates feet that run to mischief. He said He hates also a false witness that speaketh lies. Proverbs 19, verse 5 and 9, it says the same thing both places. But it says a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. You know, you can read in Galatians there, chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, it talks about the works of the flesh. And I was kind of looking at them. If you look at them, them's all attributes of the devil. I mean, it describes the devil and every facet of him. And then you got Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, and it mentions the fruit of the Spirit. And those are attributes of Jesus Christ. And you will bear no fruit with the works of the flesh. You'll have to have the fruits of the Spirit to bear fruit. Amen. I mentioned over here yesterday that there was a lady that died and she had real bad cancer. So bad she had open lesions on her back, just opened up from the cancer. It was real bad. They was trying to treat her, but it was bigger than them and she died. And they told her husband, they said, "We're sorry. We've done everything we could do." But while she was dying, as she died, she went to that blessed place. And she was allowed a decision to stay or come back. And now this lady's a pretty humble lady, and I couldn't give nobody her name yesterday, but I got it today. Her name is Anita Morjani. Morjani. She wrote a book called Dying to Be Me. It changed her forever. It changed her life. She wrote a book called Dying to Be Me. And in that book, she describes how she died, went to heaven, and came back with a report. Now, she wrote that book, and the doctors couldn't explain how the lesions all healed up. They can't explain that she's alive now. So some big theologian come up there, just really give her down the road, trying to disprove everything, and finally fainted and gave up, and said, "I wish I'd have went through what you went through." Tried to attack her credibility, Brother Melvin. Tried to somehow pull a rug out my neither. You know, that blind man got saved in John, I believe it's John chapter 10. And all he could say, Molly, was, "All I know is I was blind, now see." I mean, you know, you first get saved, you ain't got all answers. He said, "All I know is I was blind, now see." And man, I tell you what, they was having a hard time with that jail. I mean, he said, "I know I was blind, I know I see, I don't know how in the world I got to see, but I can see now." But I mean, I can't always put it in the words. Well, that's what that woman was. She said, "I'll tell you one thing. You may not believe it, but I've got it. I'll tell you." And she wrote that book. I'd like to get it and read it. I'm going to try to get it. Dying to Be Me. She had an extreme makeover. Margaret, she weighed 80 pounds when she died. She's just a little bitty. Dying to be me. We see through a glass darkly, Keith. We see in part, we know in part, there's a whole lot more to life than what these eyes see. We just don't see everything. We just see a little bit. And you think we see enough to convince us of eternity, but for some reason or another, we hold back. For some reason or another, my wife calls me a procrastinator. I'm glad I'm good at something. But I am. That means I put off things. I don't do what I need to do. I try to say I'll do it tomorrow. I heard a story one time about an old hillbilly. And it was coming a flood and the roof was leaking. And she said, "Paul, you need to fix that roof." He said, "I can't. It's raining." It quit raining, Margaret. And she said, "Go out there and fix that roof." He said, "Don't need fixing. It ain't leaking." That's me to a T right there. Amen. Well, anyway, that woman wrote that book. I do believe they gave her quite a bit of time there on Fox News. I thought that was, you know, pretty phenomenal. I mean, they didn't rush her. Gayla, they gave her all the time she wanted. I think they's interested in the subject matter. Who wouldn't be interested in heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Man, I'm pretty interested. Glory to God. Jesus said if it wasn't so, He said, "I'd have told you." He told me so much. Man, I tell you what, I ain't got over the half it's been told. I can't wait to see the other half, Brother Melvin. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Dave taking a trip through heaven? Woo! Walk down streets of gold, behold walls of jasper, to look upon the place that Jesus went away to prepare. Whew. Yeah, she said she had a hard time with that. She said, for one thing, she said there's a whole lot more to us than people realize.
Amen.
You know, the Bible does say we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that just kind of goes over our head. But she said she became aware of just how special we are created. Mm-hmm. We're not just, we didn't come up in a maggot and roll and grow a tail and fall out of a tree and, you know, somehow or another learn how to shave somehow or another start making Rolex watches and jet airplanes and stuff. But she said there's a whole lot more to us. I like that statement she made. And I'm like you, but she was given that decision. She could stay or come back. She said, "I wanted to stay." But she said, "I had grandbabies, Carolyn." She said, "I got to thinking about, I wanted to hold them." Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to hold mine too, Gail. Hallelujah. They'll call them grand for nothing. They'll cost you a grand and then some. But I like to hold them in my arms. Amen. Yep. And spoil them to death. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Gail. Bless your heart, honey. But I'm glad, praise God. The Bible said God's got it all in His hands. Amen. The Bible said the heart's in His hand. Amen. The heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. Man, oh man, God bless you. Somebody hug Sister Gail here and comfort her. I didn't really mean to bring tears to her eyes, but I'll tell you what, I respect those tears. I've got them too. Man, oh man, I remember one time I was in the restroom and my granddaughter was knocking on the door and she said, "Pop, how long are you going to be?" And I'm sitting there thinking, well, have a little courtesy, girl. I just got in here. And she knocked again. How much longer, Pop? And I finished what I was doing, opened the door. I thought she wanted to get in there and use the restroom. And all she wanted to do, Sister Melissa, was hug my neck. She was having to leave. And I thought, she stretched them little bony arms. And boy, when she left, I went back in my bedroom like a whipped dog and fell down and said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for that blessing that I had no idea was on the other side of that door." That's all she wanted to do, Bobby, was hug my neck. She was having to leave. I had to go back there and weep. I couldn't get a word out. Just wept. Bitterly wept. Man, them blessings, God give us bucketfuls of them, boatfuls of them. Man, oh man, oh man, we've got blessings upon blessings. That's all she wanted to do. Williams hugged her pop's neck. I thought she wanted to use the restroom. We had two restrooms. I don't know why, I couldn't figure out. There was more to it than that. Bless you, Molly. Somebody please come here and pray with Sister Molly. God bless your heart. But I'll tell you what, buddy. There are some blessings down here. And we can have them. I'll tell you right now, buddy. God wants to bless. God will bless. He can bless. There ain't nothing impossible with Him. I've seen Him move mountains. I saw Him, boy, turn the Red Sea on the edge and let His people go through. Amen. Somebody please pray with Molly up here. Bless her heart. I like it when it gets real. Amen. I like it when it gets real. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Them old fruits of the Spirit, boy, we need more of them. Amen. You read them fruits of the Spirit, boy, I'll tell you what, I wish I had a dump truck load on me. God, He don't like false witnesses that speak lies. And the seventh thing, like I said, I didn't realize there were seven mentioned. But the seventh thing that He mentioned was, "He that soweth discord among the brethren." Now let me give you a good example. I just heard this week. The Lord gave it to me and it humbled me. And I'll share it with you and maybe it'll do you as good as it did me. Brother Noah Baltman preached revival down there at Bethel Baptist Church. God. Boy, it was good. I only got to be there one night. I burnt the roof down from here that Sunday night. And when I got in, all he said was, "God bless you, Brother Wade." And he pretty much finished up. But I got in good Friday night. Brother Melvin, I like good preaching. Yeah. Well, from that meeting, Brother Noah Brockman, he's a great man of God up here at Somerset, Saline Baptist Church. He went up there to Brother Roark's church. And I can't even describe how far up there it is, but it's way up in eastern Kentucky. I mean, it got out of the banks. What do you mean by got out of the banks, Brother? I mean, they had revival. I didn't think it's even possible, Brother Bobby. I mean, they had like three people saved every night. I mean, one of them were the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. I mean, one of them good ones. You think, glory to God, hallelujah. I mean, buddy, he don't get no better than that. People get saved. Brother Noah, boy, he's just had liberty to preach and all that. I mean, it was good. Amen. Rick told me, he said one night they had a bunch hit the altar and had three to get saved. And man, how do you get any better than that? But he said when the service was over with, out in the parking lot, there were some had contentions. So much that they had to end the revival. They had to stop it. It didn't go no farther. And that's why we don't need to let the flesh rise up. There ain't nothing good about the flesh. Paul said, "I know in my body dwelleth no good thing." And a good meeting like that, good preaching. Now, I know both of them preachers. They don't come no better. I'm sorry, Brother Durbin Spears. I said, "Oh, what's Brother? I'm wrong. It's Brother Roark." I was thinking it's Brother Durbin. Now, I've been to Brother Durbin Spears' church. I've not been to Brother Roark's church. But Brother Rick told me it's up in the mountains. He said they cut a road back up these mountains back in the deepest part of the holler. They put an old country church up in there. They don't have a whole lot of people, and they're educated. They don't really have any pedigrees or nothing like that right there. But Jessica, right in the middle of all them blessings, the old flesh rose up and had to end the meeting. Brother Noah had to drive home. It ought not be so. It's one of the things God hates. It happens. I don't like hearing about it. I don't like seeing it. I wish it wasn't so. There ain't no telling how many people. You know, I know we got lost people here. There ain't no telling how many people won't end up getting saved because saved people don't know how to conduct themselves. And I'll say that to you in love. As your brother, I love you. But I'll tell you what, we need to be careful. That's one of the things that the Lord hates. He that sows discord among the brethren. And listen, the Bible says, I'll say this, I've seen this in action. I had two cousins, and one of them, he's dead today. And I had another one, and he's still alive, but he'd be better off to be where the other one is. But the one started a business, and it's good. I worked with him. It's called Pace Assembly Company. And, man, he really couldn't run it right. But my other cousin, he hired him and he actually helped him. And he was able to make it profitable. Matter of fact, they was making money hand over heels. An example, the one that's still alive bought a house, paid $80,000 in cash when he bought it. They was making money. Well, you'd think with all that profit and all that gain, it'd be really good, but they end up, and I hated to hear about it, but they kind of separated, fighting over things that was, God, I would hate to even mention them. I got drug in it. I was the tennis ball. They're my cousin. I love them. I love them. And they wanted me to take sides. I couldn't afford to. My dad left my mom. I couldn't take sides. I had to love them both, no matter what, in spite of that. I'm an only child. These are my cousins. I had to love them. But I'll tell you how much it took my toll on me. I went over at Bethel Baptist Church and fell on my face in front of my pastor back there in his study and said, "Brother Rick, I can't take no more. Put me out of my misery." He gathered me up in his arms like a little suckling child and pulled me up there to him. He said, "It'd be all right, Brother Eddie." It wore me out. That's probably the biggest obstacle I've ever had to deal with. And both of them would run each other down and they'd try to get me to have a say. And I'd take the Bible out and I'd tell them, I'd say, "Look, what you're doing ain't right. The one that's in the grave, it probably done him the worst." I told him flat out, I said, "It's going to kill you." I wished he'd listen to me. I said, "It's going to kill you, Barry. It's going to swallow you up, buddy." And it did. I could see it coming. I couldn't stop it. But it was over some stupid thing. Now, this is all through the Bible. Barnabas and Paul had a dissension about taking John Mark, and they separated, probably for the better. These two beloved cousins separated, and it was for the better. The Lord blessed them both. And even though they were both making money hands over fist, they still bickering. Man, it hurt me. It did. It hurt me spiritually. It affected my prayer life. I couldn't pray like I like to pray. It was hanging over me like a cloud. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't get out of it. Till one of them died. And that sufficed it. Now there's nobody to fight with. Ain't that something? Oh, I saw it in action. I saw it take its toll on the wives. I saw their children that used to be best friends couldn't play together no more. Hello! I saw it in action. I don't like a sight. I don't like it, Monica. But it goes on. more so than not. Oh me, God hates it. And I had to be impartial. But the Bible said that Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Boy, that's an attribute I wish that I could attach to Brother Eddie. I wish that when you told me something, that I could love you enough that it go no further. And that is true. I can do that. As a matter of fact, you won't never hear me repeat anything. I learned that from my pastor. One of the greatest men I guess I've ever met in that aspect. He is able. He'll tell me, Margaret, he'll say, Brother Eddie, I need you to keep this a secret. He knows I will.
Amen.
He'll say, I need you to help me pray about this. He'll tear your heart out. There's been a few times I wish he hadn't told me, because there's people that I wished better. I loved them. And he had to tell me so I could pray with him. And the reason for that, the Bible said, if any two of you on earth agree on anything, it'll be done to my Father in heaven. He wanted that double whammy about praying about things that ought not be so. I don't know if I said that exactly right or not, but I'll tell you this. He confided in me because he knew he could. And I say this to you, you can confide in me. My tongue don't walk. It goes no further. If I take it any further, I just take it to Jesus. And you can trust Him. Jessica, you can trust Him with your deepest secret. He'll not go tell. Old song used to say, go tell Jesus on me. If you got any thought about old Brother Eddie, I wish you'd just tell Jesus about it. I've got plenty of faults. You ain't got to look that hard to find anything wrong with me. I wish he wasn't that way. I'm a far cry from what I like to be. I wish I could do things right. I wish I could somehow rise above. I can't. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not perfect, neither are you.
Amen.
God help the one that thinks they are. But I've seen it in action. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, says a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that's of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I didn't read all that other verse. Let me go back. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That's what I've seen with my two cousins. I actually seen Brother Melvin, these was two of the dearest friends. They were first cousins. But there's no greater friend than they were to each other. I mean, they would do anything for each other. Step up here a minute, young man. Would you mind? I know they can't see this on the internet, but step up here a minute. Put your back up against mine. Now, cross your arms. This is where it went.